In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the St. Matthew's Gospel, not the Gospel we just heard, but in St. Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter, our Lord says, and invites, really, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, or loaded down, and I will give you rest. And then at the end of the text, he says, my yoke is easy. Really, the word useful is what it is. And my burden, my load is light. And these words from our Lord are really very beautifully exemplified, manifested in today's gospel reading of his healing of the paralytic. We have a man who for 38 years has been paralyzed, longing to receive healing by this pool, Bethesda, but totally unable, no one to help him. He's weary. Can you imagine? 38 years of this illness, not giving up hope, but realistically not much hope to be had. The text said that the whole place is crowded, multitudes of people are blind and lame, and all kinds of illnesses and diseases. There's way more people crowding around that are much more able to get in the water more quickly. So not much chance for him to be healed. But he continues to endure. But it's a heavy burden. Illness, sickness of all sorts are heavy burdens. They make us weary. Many things in life make us weary. Our own anxieties and worries make us weary, make us feel heavy laden. Our Lord comes and heals him, and when he heals him, he tells him to take up his pallet that he's lying on. Well, that's pretty easy for him to do. That's an easy yoke. Now that he's healed, it's not doing nothing, it's doing something. Take up your pallet and go home. It's a light load compared to what he had been carrying. And this is a wonderful image of the Christian life. If we come to Christ, he longs to remove from us those things that weigh us down, those things that make us weary. But he doesn't leave us, as it were, in this state of rest that is laziness or idleness, emptiness, not engaged in the things of this world. He asks us to participate, to engage, to do something. In the theology and life of the church, with his help, synergy, not alone, not on our own, but in cooperation with him. The reason the load is light is because he carries the majority of it, leaves just a little bit of us, a little bit for us to participate. So this is this beautiful image of the Christian life. And the Holy Fathers see this paralysis as a spiritual paralysis. It's an image of our spiritual paralysis, that our spirits are not able, not willing to move, to turn toward God. And in baptism, the waters of baptism that are there, even though they're not what heals this man, that spirit is reborn, made alive, energized to be able to turn toward God, turn toward its creator. But even in this life, after being born into the life of the church, into this Christian life, being placed in Christ, we still have a little work to do. We still have to carry our pallet. We still have to carry a load, a light load. There's two things to keep in mind in this life. One is that it's very easy for us to want to remain by the pool, on the pallet, wanting to be a victim, wanting to feel sorry for ourselves. This man didn't do that at all, but it's shockingly easy for us to prefer and to have our needs met by other people, have our wants and desires met by other people, feeling sorry for ourselves. Self-pity. The way we were raised, or the way we were bullied in school, or the other things that people have done to us. This sort of victim mentality can have a tremendous power over other people. People want to come to our aid and help us out, and we can sort of control and manipulate the world around us. And so even in the Christian life, there's this great danger to have been baptized, have been brought into the life of the church, but to not want to let go of that life of self-pity, feeling sorry for ourselves. Not receiving, embracing the life that God's given us. Not being willing to stand up and pick up the pallet and walk and go home. So we need to do that. We need to set aside all of this mentality that we have of being victims, feeling sorry for ourselves, whatever the source might be, all excuses and explanations that we have for why things aren't going our way. And then when we pick up our pallet and walk, and we have a second issue, which is beautifully illustrated by this man's interaction with the Jewish authorities. They, of course, since it's the Sabbath, remind him that he's not supposed to be carrying the pallet on the Sabbath. He can't do that. It counts as work. And he says, "The man who healed me told me to take up my pallet and carry it." Now, they could have said a lot of different things. Like, for example, they could have said, "Healed you? Who healed you? That's a miracle. What was wrong with you?" They didn't say that. They said, "Who told you to break the Sabbath? Who told you to pick up your pallet and walk?" That was what their concern was. Their focus was on following the law, not upon healing the soul. And now, he doesn't know, according to the text, because Jesus withdrew and just kind of quietly went away and entered into the crowd of people that were there. But Jesus goes to find him. He finds him in the temple. And the Holy Fathers, especially Cyril of Jerusalem and others, make a big point of this, that this man went to the temple. He wasn't being presumptuous. He was devout. He was thankful to God for having healed him. And Jesus says, "See, you're well." And St. Cyril and others say, he doesn't mean simply you're physically well. See, you're spiritually well. Here you are in the temple. You can offer yourself to God in the way that you were created to offer yourself. You're no longer constrained, not only by paralysis of the body, but you're no longer constrained by the paralysis of the soul, feeling sorry for yourself, not having anyone to help you. You've been helped, you've been aided, you've been enlivened, not just in body, but in soul. So he's manifesting this beautiful offering of himself in light after his healing. So after Jesus talks to him, tells him to go and sin no more, lest something worse befalls him, he goes and tells the Jewish leaders that it's Jesus, but he doesn't say it's Jesus who told me to carry my pallet. That's their concern. The Jews' concern is that who told you to break the Sabbath? He doesn't say, "I need to justify myself to you, I need to give an explanation. You're criticizing me and I need to defend myself, and my defense is I broke the Sabbath." He doesn't say any of that. He says, "Jesus is the man who healed me." He doesn't get caught up in the cares and concerns and obsessions of the world around him. And this is a very hard thing to do in our Christian walk, in our simple carrying out our life day to day. Even if we let go of that victim mentality, the world will constantly tempt us to enter into kind of a debate, a defensiveness, an argumentation. Who said you could do that? Who said you could break the law? Who said you could do things this way, do things that way? Who do you think you are? And it's so easy for us to want to defend ourselves. But it would be good if we could simply follow the pattern of the paralytic and say, "Jesus, heal me. That's my focus. You can focus on the law. You can focus on these debates and arguments and all manner of things that you're obsessed with. But my focus is on Jesus healing me. I'm going to the temple to offer myself to God. It's hard to keep this focus. But if we do, then we're living our life under this light or this useful yoke, this good yoke, and this light burden. In the middle of that passage that our Lord gives us in Matthew tells us really how to live this life. He says, "Come to me, you are weary and loaded down, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Don't take the yoke of the world upon you. Don't take these distractions, these accusations. Don't take those things upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Bind yourself to me. That's the synergy. Don't do this stuff alone. Don't combine yourself, unite yourself to the ways of the world. But take my yoke upon you. Let me be the one who steers and guides you. And learn from me. Christ is our ultimate teacher. You know, the simplest prayer is the disciples' prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. It would be good if we just said that every day. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we can read a bunch of books about prayer. That's very good. But we have to remember that we learn from Christ. We have to be attentive, listening. And a good way to do that is to ask Him, Lord, teach me. Teach me this. Teach me that. Come and learn from me. And what He will teach us, He tells us. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart and lowly of heart. And you will find rest for your souls. So in this sort of world of chaos and temptations and distractions, and the own weightiness and heaviness of our anxieties and worries, and of the illnesses and diseases and injuries, the tensions in our relationships, the tensions that arise from the pandemic, all of this stuff that makes us weary and weighed down, it really all can fly away. It can all be released from us. We can be released from it. If we are willing to follow this simple prescription, to come to Christ, to let Him be the one who teaches us, to be under His yoke and under His burden. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.